So it's the final day of Crufts. It's Hound and Terrier Day. And once again, I've taken a break in the press office to get away from the hubbub in the halls. And I'm here for a quick catch-up and a cuppa with two lovely ladies. Natalie Lenton, who is the chair of the Canine Massage Guild and the course director for the Canine Massage Therapy Centre. And Louise Swindlehurst, who is the vice chair of the Canine Massage Guild. So first of all, hello, ladies.
Hello. Hello to everybody listening.
Hello.
Fabulous. Thank you for joining us. I'd really like to know, I'm going to pose my first question to the chair in your official capacity, Natalie. Can you tell us what came first? Not the chicken or the egg, because if you could do that, you would be onto a real money winner. But the Canine Massage Guild or the Canine Massage Therapy Centre, and explain a bit why they came into being.
Okay, so 10 years ago, I decided that I was going to have a career change. My original career was in marketing management. I decided that I was going to have a career change. I knew that I wanted to work with dogs, so I looked at behaviour, training, grooming, and none of those rang my bell. So I ended up doing a very basic canine massage course, but I knew that it was capable of more. So basically what I did is I did this 9-month course, and then I obsessed about it. So I wanted to be able to have clinical knowledge. I spent 4 years doing extra courses, advanced human bodywork courses, and in that time as well I grew my client base. The results were so amazing with what I was doing that people started asking me, I want to do what you do. So on the back of that, I then started writing a course which is now the Clinical Canine Massage Practitioner Programme, which is externally accredited by Lantra. We are now in our 6th year of the course, and when people were graduating from the course, they basically said to me, we would really like an association that's recognised, because this is so different what we do, will you set us up an association? And of course I said yes. So the Canine Massage Guild was born, and to be a member of the Canine Massage Guild you have to have completed the 2-year clinical canine massage practitioner programme, and then you can become a guild member. So the Canine Massage Guild is a professional network of 70 therapists around the country, and that in a nutshell is how it all came around.
Wow, so 70, so a growing network, which is fantastic to hear. I've had personal experience of working with one of your newly qualified members, the lovely Sam Buckenham, who worked with my greyhound, Jasper. I'm going to ask a question now to Louise. So, Louise, you're the vice chair, and how long have you been with the guild? And I know you run your own business too.
Yes, I've been with the Guild now for 4 years. I run my own business, Worcestershire Canine Massage, and then I'm the vice chair of the Guild to run that for the fully trained practitioners and promote the Guild and promote massage within the industry.
Brilliant. And how have you found Crufts? Because is this, how many have you been here before on the stand, you know, getting the sore feet, drinking lots of water?
Yes, this is our 5th year here. We're here every year for all 4 days. And as you say, we all need a massage at the end of Crufts, not just the dogs.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Or a reflexologist, somebody who will be able to help ease those pains. Now, I'm gonna switch back across to Natalie, because you are located in Hall 1 of Stand 24 and 26, I believe, as well, and opposite a course that I know is very dear to my heart, so it comes as no surprise to anybody listening this. It's the Retired Greyhounds Trust, and I believe you have an interest in retired racing greyhounds and have worked with a number. So if you can explain how massage can benefit racing greyhounds, in particular some of the injuries that they sustain.
Okay, well, you could say it's an interest, but you'd be more honest to say that it's an obsession. So I started working with greyhounds around 7 years ago, and I actually got approached to work in some kennels. Now, over that time when I was working with the racers, what I found is that you would have very, very common injuries. And so a lot of what we see in greyhounds are actually soft tissue or muscular injuries. And obviously, because in the greyhound world, where our retired friends come from, the tracks actually run anti-clockwise in this country. So we have the traps, and the greyhound exits the traps. The most common injury in the racing greyhound is something called a gracilis strain. And the gracilis is what is called the 0-60 muscle. It's the propulsion muscle. So as the greyhound exits that, because the body doesn't have time to acclimatise with its sensory neurons to lengthen the tissue, therefore the tissue then injures. So we see very, very common strains to the gracilis. We will also see strains, again, a tear to the muscle, in a muscle called the superficial pectorals. And these are at the front of the body where our pectorals are, and they sling in the appendicular to the axial skeleton, so they sling in the foreleg to the body. And the greyhound will tend to injure actually the front right pectoral, because if you think that they're running around the track in an anti-clockwise direction, they're pushing off with that right leg. A lot of tracks actually have the camber, and yes, there are a lot of racing industries. My beautiful own beak at home, her name is Nell, and she has many injuries. They're actually quite distressing. She's a beautiful girl, and she actually comes onto the clinical canine massage practitioner program to help my new students be able to feel for injuries, because we focus very much on the art of palpation. So yeah, muscular injuries in the greyhound world are rife.
Yeah, I mean, I can say actually with my own greyhounds, and in particular, one of my greyhounds who is sadly no longer with us, Mina, earned the nickname of the canine catastrophe. She was the reason pet insurance was invented, in fairness.
No, that can't be right, because they invented pet insurance because of my Nell, so okay. There must be some confusion there.
I think there must be. We'll have to take that argument off air, I think. Probably not what people want to listen to, us arguing over who pet insurance was invented for. But Mina actually tore her gracilis muscle twice, but she never raced, but she tore it in the field. And I think it's something, you know, again, like you, I feel very passionate about people keeping an eye out for the symptoms of some muscular distress or injuries. So I'm going to ask Louise now just a little bit about what are some of the signs that people might see or should watch out for if their dog's experiencing some distress. Are they all easy to spot, or are there some things that may not be so easy to spot?
Yes, well, some are very easy to spot, such as limping or lameness, and these are often overlooked because people look for more than what the dog's actually showing. So if anything where the dog's limping, that's a definite sign that there's something going on. But there is a lot of subtle signs as well that can quite often be missed, such as little coat flicks, changes in the direction of a hair flick, or maybe even the dog being a little bit depressed, that or a change in sort of their usual behaviours. That can be saying something's not quite right and there is muscular pain there. And at that point, they want to be getting a check by a therapist.
I think one of the points as well that I love so much about your fully trained clinical canine massage therapist is the word clinical, because to me that's great. I know that you work on vet referral. Yes. And can you explain, Natalie, why working on vet referral is so important?
Yes, of course. In the UK, with the animal care industry, with any body work, so whether that be a canine massage therapist, an osteopath, a McTimony animal manipulator, a hydrotherapist or a physiotherapist, we all have to get veterinary consent. And we work with two UK laws, the Veterinary Act 1966 and the Exemptions Order 1962. So we need to have this signed so we know that there are no underlying issues or contraindications that may contraindicate treatment. So this would be something like perhaps the dog has epilepsy. And if there is undiagnosed epileptic seizures, we cannot work with that dog. Because what we do, it's not only recognising when we can help, but importantly, it's recognising when we can't help. And that is really, really valuable. So actually in the Guild, we work best practice, which Lou's going to talk about in a minute. We'll only do a maximum of 3 sessions. So we work really ethically and professionally.
That's great. I mean, it is really music to my ears, the whole of the certainly in dog training and behaviour, the whole industry is completely unregulated in the UK, as you've said already. There are moves to look at bringing in organisations, particularly for training and behaviour. So there's the Animal Behaviour and Training Council, whereby they are bringing together the range of organisations. Again, it's quite difficult to sort of get into the ins and outs of, because not all organisations are equal, not all qualifications and training are equal either. So again, I know it's something that, you know, you're really passionate about.
Well, we actually have something going on at the moment in the industry called the Review of Minor Procedures Regime, and this is a review of the Veterinary Act 1966 and Exemptions Order 1962. So what we're trying to do in the musculoskeletal industry, which includes massage, it includes physiotherapy, hydrotherapy and also skeletal therapies, is that we are all getting together into our individual groups to discuss minimum training standards, and also not just when a student is training, but what happens when they become a therapist. Who are they accountable to? Do they have to do continuing professional development hours? So even though this is a developing industry with complementary healthcare for dogs, there is actually something happening, which I think is a really positive thing, because you cannot do any course. It doesn't matter whether it's massage, grooming or training. If you do 1 or 2 days, you are not trained to help that dog. And actually, these therapies that we do, they are not innocuous, and you can do more harm than good. So I'm really, really passionate about bringing to the forefront minimum training standards throughout all of the industries to ensure the safety and the welfare of our dogs.
Hallelujah to that. That's, again, music to my ears. But coming back to a point that you made earlier, you were saying, was it three visits? What was it you were saying about one to three visits for a massage therapist, a canine massage therapist? So Louise is going to explain a little more about that, because I think some people might think, oh, massage therapist sounds good for my dog. It's a bit like, you know, popping into your local health spa and having a massage, and it's not that at all. So Louise is going to tell us a little more about it.
No, it's not quite like walking into a health spa. This is clinical massage, and it's dealing directly with soft tissue injuries and help managing orthopaedic conditions. So our therapists will only ever see a dog initially 1 to 3 times. If you're not seeing results in that sort of time span with your dog, then perhaps it's not quite the right therapy for you. But usually that is the time you will see changes in your dog, and you will see improvements, because we work directly with the issues to rehabilitate them and support those orthopaedic conditions that are causing the problem.
Okay, fabulous. And do your therapists feed back to the vets at the end of the process, so that the vets are aware of the work that's been undertaken and things that you may have discovered through sort of palpation, etc.?
Yes, so our therapists will palpate the dog, and as part of their assessment, along with a gait analysis and posture analysis and full consultation with the owner. They will then perform the full massage treatment to the dog, and we'll see them for a maximum of 3 times. After this has happened, then there will be feedback to the owner with what they found, any recommendations for changes perhaps in the dog's day-to-day living, and recommendations for their environment. And then a full report will be given to the dog's vet as well, so that the vet can understand what we have found, what we have advised, and where we would like to go from here. And importantly, if there's anything the vet needs to be aware of or the vet needs to do alongside our treatment.
That's great. And for the treatment, I suppose this will depend on the therapist in question, can it take place at a dog owner's home, or do they have to go to a special massage centre?
Yes, you're exactly right. This does depend on the therapist. All our therapists are self-employed. Some of us, like myself, have a clinic where people come to and they bring their dogs along. Others work mobile. I will work mobile for very infirm dogs and elderly dogs who can't get to my clinic, but the majority do come to my clinic.
Excellent, thank you. Now, Natalie, can you tell me what's the difference, what's so different about the Clinical Canine Massage Practitioner Programme? I'd really like to, so I'm really interested in this, and I know that you run a number of courses, don't you? So first of all, for dog owners, can they actually do something? Is there a course that they could go on just to find out a little bit more about their own dog and perhaps helping them?
Well, we offer several different levels of training. So we have an entry-level training, and that's for self-interest at home. So we run several one-day courses, one-day workshops for owners, where you bring along your own dog. So we do beginner's guide to canine massage, pre- and post-event warm-up. We do a course called Stretch and Flex, where we dispel a lot of the myths around how to get a dog fit and what stretching is. And we also do a follow-on workshop for people who've really got the bug. We have a DVD for people who can't get to us called Canine Massage in Three Easy Steps, and that's available internationally. So no matter where you are in the world, Canine Massage in Three Easy Steps is available. We then have, if people then want to go on, we then have the Clinical Canine Massage Practitioner Programme. It is a really unique course. It took me around a year and a half just to write it. The course is actually full 2 years in advance, so we have a big waiting list, which is really positive because what we do is so different. So rather than what people think of as a pampering massage with plinky plonky music and candles, I can assure you that this is at the completely opposite end of the scale. So clinical canine massage is all about being able to rehabilitate soft tissue injuries that are commonly seen as intermittent lameness caused by an issue called the strain. And a strain is an overstretching or a tear to the muscle. And we also help to support orthopedic conditions such as hip dysplasia and osteoarthritis in the management of those diseases by addressing protective muscular splinting disorders that are inhibiting further range of motion with the dog. So on the course we cover four different disciplines of massage. So what most people think of massage, Swedish massage, which is your first discipline, what I class as your nicey nicey linking warming strokes. I myself am a really, really passionate about sports massage. So sports massage is injury identification, muscle isolation, the use of origins, insertions and actions. That's where a muscle starts, where it ends and what it does. We use fibre direction as well, so it's not just a case of hoping that something happens. And we do scar tissue remodelling from the strain and trigger point release. My students will also learn deep tissue massage, which is being able to manipulate the limb into a position where you can access the deeper layers of musculature. And then finally, I teach the creme de la creme, and that's my facial release, the direct approach and the indirect approach, where we have what's called a thixotrophic or a melting response into the 3D cobweb of connective tissue. So you can probably tell I'm really passionate about it because massage did actually change my own life personally.
So oh wow.
Without massage I would be using a walking stick. So
oh wow, no wonder you are so passionate about it. As I've said, you know, from my own experience with my racing dog, Jasper, it really benefited him to be one of Sam's case studies.
Yes.
And I think the other thing that people need to be really aware of, and what I was so impressed by, was the time that Sam took to get to know my dog and to make sure that he was comfortable and not nervous and sort of getting him to lie down. I mean, the table wasn't an option for Jasper.
No, it's not.
So Sam worked really hard with him. We got a really nice firm Tuffy's bed, brought it downstairs, and she worked brilliantly.
Yes.
And he really did see the benefits. You know, he's 12 years old. He's an old boy, and it was absolutely perfect for him.
Well, she would have been looking to identify any muscular injuries, and muscular injuries don't just happen with performance or sport. Dogs, a lot of injuries that our dogs accumulate actually happen around the home, and we call them activities of daily living, which is what Louise mentioned earlier on. And an activity of daily living is something that a dog does every day. So it, you know, the main thing that people realize is clinical canine massage, it's not just for a lame dog or a performance dog or a senior dog. All dogs can benefit from a massage because it's the 700 muscles which pull on the 320 or so bones, depending on the length of the tail, to produce movement. It's muscle that produces movement, and it's the first point of call for injury. The body would much rather injure a muscle than a bone, and that's where we come in to actually rehabilitate or manage the issue to get results in 1 to 3 sessions, and they're visible results.
Okay, marvellous. What I'd really like to know now, though, are a top tip from both of you for dog owners around sort of massage therapy. So I'm going to cross to Louise, who I think has a top tip. So listen up for this.
So look out for changes in your dog, whether that's the posture, gait and their limping, activities of the daily living that they usually do. So, you know, maybe they're reluctant to jump in the car now or on the sofa, going up and down stairs. There's a character change or a performance change if they're a performance dog. So look out for those changes in your dog. That's what's key.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much for that. Going up and downstairs, again, I think there's probably quite a lot of injuries, I would imagine, that dogs can sustain by just pelting up and down and jumping and missing several stairs. I'm thinking about my own dogs, one of whom managed to rip his nail out on Friday evening coming down the stairs. But that's another story. Yeah, very, very timely, as I was on my way back from Crufts and my poor husband had to deal with the pools of blood everywhere. Louise. I'm losing the plot myself now. I need more caffeine. Natalie's now going to give us her top tip for people.
So when I give out a top tip, what most people think that I'm going to talk about massage, but I'm going to tell you the number one way to keep your dog injury free. And it is actually putting runners down on your laminated or slippy flooring, because dogs are phalangeal, or what we call digit grade animals. That means that they walk on their toes. It means that a dog can't actually gain purchase or get a grip on slippy flooring. And that's laminated floor, tiles and wooden floors. So the best thing that you can do for your dog is put runners down, because until you actually address what is causing or exacerbating an injury, you will never be able to rehabilitate or manage it. So we talk real common sense, we give simple advice. The Canine Massage Guild was established, and my vision for that was affordable healthcare for all dogs. So the Canine Massage Guild is, it's a dream come true.
Fabulous. And very finally, to wrap things up, tell us a little bit about your own dogs. Now, I know that Louise, you have 6 dogs, and do they all benefit from massage? So tell us a little bit more about them.
Yes, they do benefit from massage. I have 6 of them. One is my retired prison patrol dog. One is my retired proactive drug dog. So they had busy working lives, which is what led me to studying with Natalie and becoming a canine massage therapist, was learning from working dogs who were suffering from injuries caused by their working environment. I also have 2 other Springer Spaniels and 2 Beagles. Those are all pets.
Wow, so you're definitely kept busy with those. Some nice high energy dogs there. And across to Natalie now, and I think we, with today being Hound and Terrier Day, there's a little hint to the types of dogs that are very lucky to live with Natalie. So who lives with you, Natalie?
Well, firstly, we have my beautiful greyhound called Nell, and she is 7 years old. She has got the most horrific injuries that I've ever seen, and I always say that, do you know, a dog comes into our life to teach us something. Well, not only has Nell taught me, but to date, she's also taught over 150 therapists how to palpate tissue effectively. She has the gracilis strain. She's got strains in her TFL, or what some people call the triangle muscle, the tensor fascia latae. We help to identify scar tissue. So she's amazing. And we also have my soulmate, and that is my Jack Russell called Pip. She's my second in command. And if it wasn't for her, I'd never have got into working with dogs. So it's amazing what we can do. And as I said, all dogs come into our lives to teach us something.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on that point. So if people want to find out more, obviously there's a little bit of time left at Crufts today. Can you remind them which hall and stand you're on, and also give us a website address where people can find out a little more about you?
Yep, so for the Canine Massage Therapy Centre, which is the training centre, we are in Hall 1, Stand 24. We have also a holistic or natural canine healthcare shop with herbs, supplements, homeopathy and also rehabilitation devices for dogs. And we do all the training as well, so we're in Hall 1, Stand 26.
Okay, fabulous. And, we've got one of the winners behind us having a little bark. So, you know, it is authentic here. What's the website address, Louise?
Well, the website for the Canine Massage Guild is www.k9massageguild.co.uk.
Okay. Lovely, thank you. And there is another website as well to give.
And so for the therapy centre, for people interested in holistic healthcare, and also importantly for training from anything from one-day workshops right up to clinical canine massage practitioner level, that is www.k9-massage.co.uk. Get yourself on there.
Great, thank you guys. Really do appreciate you taking the time out. Hopefully the not so subtle bribe of a cup of tea, and actually for Louise and I, sparkling water, I'll have you know. We were a bit dehydrated in that, well, it was proved enough. So thanks guys, really appreciate
it. Thank you.